Welcome, creatures.
I am. Oh man, there's so many choices. Every day. I am sitting in a room.
I am likewise sitting in a room.
I don't know, still sounds like you're sitting in a cave.
I wish. You have no idea. I mean, it's cold as a cave in here, honestly.
And I'm Garrett.
My bedroom is root cellared out of its mind.
Yeah, I'm having the exact opposite problem I usually have in this room. I am fucking freezing.
Yeah, I was all over the valley yesterday trying to track down a heated mattress pad because my old one just doesn't work.
Just do what
I
do.
It just decided it was going to stop.
Just use a full-ass electric blanket.
That was the issue, is I couldn't even find those.
Really? Maybe they're not out yet.
That's, I think the issue there. Like, it's either that or, they just aren't sold in stores anymore.
Illegal.
I got my, one a couple years ago, but that...
I believe it.
A couple years ago.
Well, I was looking, I checked Walmart.com, and it was, there were some that were just, sold out, but, that they didn't, for example, they had them, but only at the, Supercenter, and, was sold out at the moment, so...
That sucks.
I was able to find one at Target, so I was unbelievably comfortable last night.
You know who else was unbelievably comfortable?
You.
No. I was at work last night.
Oh, that's too bad.
Although I did have to call out on Friday.
Really?
Because I just couldn't get to sleep.
Yeesh.
I was lying in bed with nothing on, TV off, lights off, even podcast off. And I just was lying there for 3 hours.
Oh, this is the cool thing. Yeah, the total void.
And then I look at my phone and it's 6. I'm like, all right, if I'm not in asleep by 8, I'm calling off work because I can't function on no sleep.
Yeah.
2 hours, that's fine. Ugh. And then I called off, was still up until 1, and then passed the fuck out until I had to go to work the next day.
Which cryptid is the opposite of you? Which one sleeps comfortably every day?
Well, I was gonna say the guy who sighted this cryptid was comfortable when he
really? Usually that ruins your life. Okay.
Usually it ends any kind of career you had.
It takes a lot to lose the career of Swedish plantation owner.
I mean, well, a lot or a little.
In Africa.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say a lot. I'm going to say I feel like it would take a lot to lose that.
Yeah. So today's featured creature. I figured doing a lot of Bigfoot and some grab bags to be a break from Bigfoot.
Yeah.
I wanted to get away from Bigfoot and hairy hominids, but I still wanted to get one that had good actual research and sightings behind it instead of... Obscurbin.
Instead of here's some nonsense.
Yeah. So one of the classic, the Kasai Rex.
Oh yeah.
Okay. That's quite a name.
It's a it's another I saw a dinosaur in the Congo.
Okay.
But this one, T-Rex.
Well, I mean, he is the king of the jungle.
So are the lions, and they don't even live in jungles.
That is true. But you know what they do? They do sleep tonight.
In 1932, in a region of Africa now known as the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Swedish plantation owner John Johansson and his guide set out to hunt elephants on a quiet afternoon. Johansson,
you tell me Johan had a son, and he said, I name him John. I am Johan, this is John.
Yeah.
He is John Johansson.
Yeah.
All right.
And he is...
You totally derailed. That's why I think Vinnie Vincent's the coolest guitarist, because that means their name is Vincent Vincent. I think their third name is also Vincent.
Vinnie V. Vincent.
Yeah.
That would be incredible, actually. It's got to be something crazy like Vermilion. Something, has a certain aristocratic sound to it. I'm Vincent Vermilion Vincent.
Is that one of your Gundam guys, Garrett? That sounds like a Gundam.
It does sound like a Gundam pilot name.
Yeah, as soon as you said that, I said, I know what this guy looks like.
Especially from Wing. He hangs out with Trees Kushrinata and Miliardo Peacecraft.
Miliardo Peacecraft, yep. He definitely approves of throwing people out of planes and then shooting them.
I mean, Lady Un is just efficient.
It, I mean, I think it's crazy that they would reference that in The Dark Knight so many years later.
Is Bane's mask a reference to some sort of Zaku or something?
No, Bane literally asks why you would shoot a man before throwing him out of a plane.
But his mask looks like a gun, though.
Well, you know, you might be right, actually. That's the, he'd have a more of a G Gundam face.
Johansson spotted a rhino grazing and aimed his rifle to bag the unsuspecting creature. But before he could squeeze the trigger, another animal burst out of the rainforest brush and attacked the rhino. Johansson was so upset by the sight, he fainted, and his guide ran away.
No, wow. I want to have an emphasis on upset, so that could mean a few things. So he's rageful, or shocked, or devastated, or all of the above.
I think if you faint, it has to be all of them. You just can't process all of them.
Yeah, I think like fainting is definitely a response to being like overwhelmed, right? You just feel so much that your brain has to hard reset.
When Johansson came to, he reportedly saw what looked like a Tyrannosaurus feeding on the dead rhino. He immediately thought of shooting the creature, but remembered that the servant had taken his shotgun.
Wow. But to think we were that close to just having a T-Rex.
Right?
Because at this point, that's where I'm at. Like, honestly, it's a shame to obliterate such a majestic creature. But, I mean, if I see a dinosaur, it's going to die.
Yeah.
I got to have proof.
Unless it's like, somehow trainable and not immediately a threat to your life.
No, even then, I'm sorry, dinosaur. We'll clone you.
I'll pick up a baby, like, I don't know. Triceratops. Oh,
okay,
something.
You know, all right. If you're right, you're right. If it's like lassoable, if it's like the equivalent of a cow or something,
I'd say, you know, yeah, like or a sheep goat or smaller.
Not yeah, then for sure.
Stars. That'd be great.
I would just grab it with my bare hands.
Yeah, get a bag.
But exactly, kangaroo style, you just tip it right in. But if it's more dangerous than that, I'm sorry, you have to die, dinosaur. I'm sorry.
But he still had his camera.
Oh, so you're saying we have photos of this thing?
We do. We'll go on the Cryptid Wiki and look of the photos of the Kasai Rex.
Kasai, K-S-I?
K-A-S-I? Yeah.
Okay.
K-A-S-A-I.
Oh, okay. Spelled semi-correctly.
Those echoing keys in the cavern you're in.
I don't know how I have... Maybe it's a problem on the Zoom side. Okay, so I see...
Well, maybe.
I see a... okay, is that... That's a photo?
So all right. Keep just have witnessed them. I'm going to describe them later in this.
Okay. All right, I'm seeing it.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. He took a photo of the creature, which upon hearing the click, sank quickly into the lake, while the rhinoceros body floated in a pool of blood. Upon returning to camp, John walked shivering and shaking the camera, collapsed, and the men in there picked him up. So there were... I got some of the stuff from one of the books, and then I looked up other stuff on the Cryptid Wiki, and they had two completely, like, wildly different stories.
Okay.
I think the book one has him... The book one and another, I double-checked on another weird cryptid site, and it followed more close to the book, so that's what I went with. With him fainting and stuff. The other one has him and his servant marching through a swamp to the savannah trying to hunt elephants, but they saw two elephants, which was weird because why aren't they in a herd? And then the T-Rex goes and attacks an elephant and he shoots it in the back and his servant dives on the ground, and then they go back and march through the swamp and then they see it again, and then his servant ran away like a coward, but he's like, I'ma shoot it.
Well, that's a far more interesting dramatic story.
It is, but it sounds like bullshit.
Right, it's also significantly faker.
Yeah.
The reason I give the story credit is because the guy goes, ah! And like faints twice.
Yeah.
He gave himself the credibility.
Why would you admit that? Twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do they call that in legal proceedings? It's like evidence against best interest or something.
Yeah.
Like, it has more credibility because it also makes you look bad.
Yeah.
Like, why would anybody defame themselves unless it's the truth?
Yeah. 1932, A Zimbabwean newspaper ran a black and white photo of the Kasai Rex that plantation owner John Johansson claimed to see in the Kasai Valley. Quote, "It was reddish in color, with blackish-colored stripes," he said in his interview with the newspaper Rhodesia Herald.
He saw the giant Gila monster.
"It has a long snout with and numerous teeth." He decided that the creature, 13 meters long, 43 feet, was a Tyrannosaurus, and also said, quote, "The legs were thick. It reminded me of the lion built for speed." But photo analysts...
He said it exactly like that.
Probably.
"Reminds me of the lion built for speed."
But photo analysts believe it was a photo of a lizard superimposed on an image of a dead rhino.
Yeah, I'm getting that big time.
A second sighting was allegedly reported in Q magazine the same year, and years later, two photos circulated as proof of the Tyrannosaurus's authenticity. One proved to be a monitor lizard. The other was an image from the famous 1969 Ray Harryhausen stop motion movie masterpiece, Valley of the Gwangi.
I was gonna say, this guy's got big puppet energy.
Pasted to the picture of a rhino.
I mean, I can appreciate this guy's effort to hoax, though. It's very impressive.
However, what if he was so terrified by Harryhausen's puppet, he did faint, and he had to make up this whole story to cover it up?
Except for the first sighting takes place in the 30s.
I didn't remember when this happened, Garrett. I'm sticking to it. When did they forge the Harryhausen puppet?
That one was in the... It just said years later, and since the movie came out in 1969, let's say the 70s.
Yeah, he's been traumatized.
We're just going to find out that he actually saw it, and he was just creating these as sort of like a composite for them, and there was some kind of unscrupulous agent that was like, no, this is the photo. And, just ruined his credibility. Because much like Alan, I agree. He fainted twice. He had to see something.
I think I know what really happened.
Oh, okay, what really happened?
It hit him so bad, it hit him retroactively 40 years earlier.
It echoed through time.
I mean, Harryhausen is that good.
Yeah. he was so traumatized by the movie that his past self had like a flash forward to it while out hunting.
Yeah, he had this nightmare that no one else could see.
I like how there's one, like, there's a couple color, like, drawings. I'm looking specifically at the one that is under the original photo and the two hoaxes. It looks like the middle form between Tyrunt and Tyrantrum.
Yeah, the one that's labeled artist's rendering?
No. Scroll up.
The one that's like the pencil line drawing of a T-Rex eating the butt of a rhino? Just pulling the tail off.
No. Scroll up.
Is that some sort of gourmander move? Like you?
The I see what you're talking about.
Yes,
the child's drawing.
Yes,
I do. This child has a future as an artist. Let me tell you.
And that child was Rob Liefeld.
No, there are both feet and hands in this image, and zero pouches. All right. If this were Rob Liefeld, honestly, this would be an awesome like Rob Liefeld X-Men friggin' creature. Give him, like, somehow, like, double cape and, like, one of those Gambit-style head coverings. Be awesome. I'm in favor of this. That's what we need to... We need to get in touch with Rob Liefeld. We need to have him make Rob Liefeld's dinosaurs. Yeah. Like, wasn't that... That's like a Sega Genesis game, right? Dinosaur Cops? Dino Cops?
Oh, maybe.
We're gonna get...
I really like this section. Skeptics believe that the Kasai Rex is actually a species of giant monitor lizard.
Yeah.
Well, they're just trying to backpedal to make it work. I mean, I guess. I don't know if I like people trying to backdoor it in. Yeah. Like, he says he saw something, so maybe he saw this thing that is completely contrary to the thing he says he saw. But still.
Oh, here's some juicy comments.
Oh, yeah.
Bruh.
Well, that's the original.
Got a question.
What's the question?
I haven't had a TV since like 2014. Are they the size of monitor lizards now?
They are certainly the width. They're the thickness of a monitor lizard, that's for sure.
Okay, see, I may be back in the game. If not, this is my new brand I'm developing.
Why is this a thing? You reply, it's cool.
There's Groxido says, I think it's real, but people are fooled thinking that in Cosirex as a dinosaur, when the original photograph makes it clear it's not a dinosaur. It is a gigantic unknown monitor lizard living in the Congo. Echoing the, this.
Yeah, I do like that the thumbnail you click to look at the picture is bigger than the picture.
Well, they gotta save all those resolutions. I like the image labeled, a swimming Komodo dragon. Further proof that perhaps the Cosirex is an unknown giant monitor lizard. Or the one that reads, a comparison between a monitor lizard on two legs and an illustration of a T-Rex from the 1930s. And I gotta say, the monitor lizard standing up has just the most incredible throat. It looks like a friggin' toad. It's just wild.
Ah, man, I grew up with monitor lizards.
I grew up with dinosaur renderings like this one.
My dad, when we lived at my grandma's house when I was a wee lad, he had a pet Savannah monitor that he would put a harness on and walk down the street.
Apparently they like it a lot.
Savannah monitors are really cool. Although my dad did not make the smart decision of feeding it in a different box than its regular cage.
Of taking it out to feed it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when I was like 4, I watched that thing paint the inside of its terrarium with the fucking carcass of a mouse.
This is a story I remember.
Explodes a mouse.
It just bit it and then just swung it around.
I mean, that is what they do.
So, can the Cosirex beat the hippo?
I'm going to say firm no. I'm sorry.
I'm going to go with yes, because it killed a rhino.
Okay, all right. You know, the hypothetical animal as described in the sighting. Okay, yes, I agree. It would paint the rhino's terrarium with it. Just grab it by the, I say rhino, the hippo. Same difference, it's fine.
Oh man, rhinos, fucking blind as a bat.
Well, you know, you get to that a certain size and you just don't need it.
Yeah, with a 3-foot horn.
Yeah.
Just sleep and come at me.
I mean, you know, your sense of touch and taste are probably more important at that point.
Not if you're eating plants. I don't want to fucking taste.
Well, I mean, that's how you know you're eating plants. You know, I mean, well, otherwise you could be eating rocks. How would you know?
The hardness.
Well, I mean, you know, because some plants are hard like that.
Plugmendations.
Oh, boy.
My plugmendation is hard plants. No, I don't know, Garrett. What do you, you go first this time. I got one. Okay.
So I've been on a building spree for my models lately.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing some like cleaning, and then I've had empty spots on a shelf, and I had one model. I'm like, I'm gonna build that one, put it there, and I'm gonna keep cleaning. Yeah, no, it's been like a couple weeks, and I've just been building models. But I've been using that time to watch shit that I've been meaning to catch up on, and then I started watching the 2012 remake of Space Battleship Yamato.
Oh, the CG one.
No. Production, I think, no, not Production IG. Production IG did Legend of the Galactic Heroes, which I also watched. No, it was just a kind of a reboot. Not even reboot. It's a remake, but I don't know. Yes, it follows the story real close, and even the opening still sounds all 70s as fuck, and the interstitial music is 70s as fuck, with the trumpets and the,
oh yeah,
it's so fucking wild looking, like crisp 2012 masterful animation, and then slide whistles and trumpets start playing.
Well, that is pretty cool. And I'm a big fan of that.
While I was watching it, I'm like, fuck, I was so upset with how good it was because I hadn't watched it earlier.
You were disappointed in your previous self. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, all your life experiences had culminated in exactly this moment. That who's to say how it would have been if you had done it sooner?
Yeah. And I also had, very very little knowledge of the story of Space Battleship Yamato also.
Now that's not the one that's Captain Harlock, right?
No. Captain Harlock was apparently originally supposed to be in it on like okay. the second half of the first season.
Because he looks like it, right? Like that's not just me being insane.
No, it's got similar like style to Leiji like Matsumoto, I think.
Okay.
I know he worked on it. I don't think he created it though. Yeah, Leiji Matsumoto. But no, that definitely is the same, like... Oh, no, yeah, he made Yamato also, yeah. The reason Harlock wasn't in it is... there was some weird rights issue with the studio and whatever. Mm. So instead of just putting this new character he came up with in that property, he made it his own.
Interesting, okay.
Yeah.
Well, how else could he enslave the space dwarves?
Yes. So, yeah, no, fucking... Space Battleship Yamato is really fucking good. Who knew?
How were you this was streaming somewhere? You were watching the streaming?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's on Crunchyroll.
Oh. That's where the folks can get it, at Crunchyroll.
Yeah. Man, yeah, no, I had no idea the story. I just thought, just some space military show.
Is it that?
It's...
that and so much more, I guess.
It is kind of that.
Okay.
But it's also, like, real Star Trek-y.
Okay.
Like,
which one? Original series? We talking Next Generation?
I mean, like, just kind of in vibe.
Discovery.
There's an episode where they, like, capture an enemy combatant, and it's a, like, robot. Okay. And they're, like, it and the ship's robot, like, talk, and it gains sentience. It's fucking weird.
Okay. And then, I mean, I'm a fan of that, like, 70s-style, like, speculative science fiction.
There's a space submarine...
Okay, I mean, like, but...
it, like, just dips into, like, a, like, pocket dimension.
Yeah. Okay, all right. I like that idea.
Yeah, and then, like, it has a fucking periscope, that goes into real space. So, like, the base story for, like, what's going on is Earth came in contact with an alien race that is fucking them up. Like, the aliens terraform Pluto and keep launching what they call planet bombs at Earth, which are just asteroids that they full of some shit. And it's like, all of Earth's population has to live underground. The fuck, like, they're gonna, in a year, the Earth's population is going to end. Like, they're going to die. But a different alien race contacted Earth and gave them, like, the designs for faster than light travel. And, like, if you come to our planet, we'll give you this thing that'll just reverse all the shit that's happened to your planet.
Okay.
So before this point, like, the Earthlings haven't even left their solar system.
Yeah.
So they get the best of the best to crew the ship, and it's just them journeying through the Milky Way, exiting the Milky Way, and then going to this fucking planet, and it's really good.
Okay. I mean, that does sound very much like Star Trek, because I was going to say, like, is this like the before the story, but this is like what's going on now. They're trying to avert the complete genocide of the human race.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of like Japanese 70s sci-fi that like more or less has that same kind of premise. Like, oh, we met some aliens and then we met the enemies of those aliens and now we're involved in a conflict that might destroy the Earth. It's a popular sort of setting or trope, if you will.
In like episode 3, they talk about how their warp drive, they've also harnessed the power source as a gun, which is why the Yamato has that fucking gun barrel on the front.
Okay.
They turned the entire ship into a fucking cannon.
Well, I like that idea.
They haven't tested it out, so they while they were slowly leaving the solar system, they found a enemy base that was like a floating continent inside like Jupiter.
Okay.
About the size of Australia. And okay. So they found an enemy base on that, and like, well, let's just test out our new gun on the base and see how it do. And it fucking destroyed the entire fucking Australia-sized continent.
Wow.
And
that's potentially a war crime, but okay.
Oh, like a couple, like for like the next couple episodes, they're like, we can only use this weapon in self-defense, and even then, it's a very calculated.
We can never do this again.
And, like, the one guy's like, we'll just kill the fucking base that's hurting Earth. And the guy, the captain, is like, it's not our job to eliminate the enemy. It's to go to this fucking other planet and save the human race.
Yeah, that's definitely their maple oatmeal in the maple cinnamon oatmeal in the Yerk pool moment.
Yeah.
Interesting. It sounds good, actually.
That's just the first season. I'm on the second one, which takes place 3 years later.
Okay.
I'm excited to build more models and watch it.
I know. I gotta get caught up on my Gundam building. I have like 3 kits sitting around.
So many BQs.
I want. Well, I mean, those are in, you know, deep storage for a future project.
Didn't you get a new BQ?
Because
they came out recently with like another BQ model.
I don't know if, I mean, maybe they did. Because there's
the
BQ,
the Legao, and then the Cerberus.
Yeah, well, and there's 2 of those. There's 2 different of the Cerberus.
Yeah.
There's a black one, like a black gray one, and a white one. But those ones, all of those models came out like forever ago. Those all came out like seed time.
I just saw one recently.
I mean, they did do like reissues, I think, of all of them.
They're doing a lot of reissues this year because of the 45th anniversary.
And so I do have an extra Legao, and I have an extra, like, just regular Mobile BQ. I think I want, for the project I'm trying to plan, I think I want one more regular BQ. But I'm not sure. I need to actually, like, sit and do, like, brain work on that. I need to finish my Psycho Gundam. I want to get Destroy Gundam. I want to get that 1144 Dendrobium, but I physically don't have room for the box right now.
I feel that. House of Hobbies has... Oh, no, that's out of stock. Never mind.
You know, Alan, what's your recommendation? Yeah. What models have you been building lately?
I built all of them. You guys, I don't tell you, but...
That's true.
There's a wall behind, in front of me that I don't let you guys
see. I was going to say, I see all those kits built behind you.
These are other modules. I don't want you guys to know about all the cues I've accumulated.
Okay.
I really like that phrase, accumulated.
I'm borrowing that.
Freebie, it's for you.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
No, my plug is thematic. I may have done it before if this has happened before, but Alvin Lucier's piece, I think it's in 1972, I am sitting in a room. He records himself saying this phrase in a room. And he plays it again, and he records it, and he plays it again, and he records it, and he plays it again, and he records it. It's 50 minutes long. You could just skip through. Sorry, Alvin. But at the end, it's just the room tone obliterating his voice.
I like the idea that he just says it. It's like a 32 like LP, and he just says it once, and just the rest of it is just white noise. But it's got to be like 4 minutes in. Like, it's nothing, and then 4 minutes in, it's, I am sitting in a room.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, I'm sitting in a room so different from the one you're in, and all my imperfections will become apparent of the room. And yeah, just because I'm... Just the tone at the end. The room has its revenge.
I love the idea of the high-end art joke. Big fan.
No, I told my friend what I realized. The art that I like is intelligent people doing incredibly stupid things. That's it.
I mean, that is probably the most cohesive description of art in general.
You'd hope it is, but sometimes people try to pretend it's smart. Get over it, man.
A bunch of ambling monstrosities trying desperately to fake meaning.
Yeah, just, we're all dumb, let's just do it.
That's the words to live by. We're all dumb, just do it.
Oh, that's my other plug. I do like the Mike Tyson interview with that 9-year-old.
With Hasbulla?
No, different. Well, the comments are like, he's on guard now. Some kid's like, wow, Mike, it's just so great for us of our generation to finally see you box. Like, what's that like? What's your legacy? He's like, I don't care. Like, I'm going to die. Like, what's legacy? That's not a word. People started using that for everything. Like, I'm going to die. I'm going to come ash. You think you got ego? Like, it doesn't matter what people think about me. It's all going to be over. And the girl's like, wow, Mike, that's just really incredible. I've never heard anyone say that to me. He's like, yeah, you're going to be nothing.
Well, he is completely correct.
Did you hear all of his, like, the interviews beforehand where people, like, asking him how things are going to go, and he's just like, pretty much, like, you can tell he doesn't want to let the beast out again.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to kill someone. Like, I can't control my anger. Like, don't make me do this.
In the post one, he's like, well, I just don't got that in me anymore. I don't got the killer anymore. And I'm just doing this for money, for my kids. Like, and I can't disgrace the sport by losing to that caliber of boxer again.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're safer that he doesn't have it. It's, you know, whatever. The Hulk thing.
The pigeons worked.
Yeah, I agree. I'm still terrified of Mike Tyson.
Oh, my God.
Mike Tyson and JBL. Dude, I'm not getting in a ring with those guys.
We all have our plugs? Is that it?
No, I did not plug anything.
What's your plug?
I don't know. I've been watching a lot of movies lately. I'm watching some good movies. Actually, mostly bad movies. I watched a crazy movie with, like, I described this to Maha, friend of the podcast, Maha, as, like, one of those, like, made-for-TV, like family sitcom fake horror movies where the kids want to sneak out to see a horror movie, but it's not, like, a real movie. It was called Butcher Baker Nightmare Maker, which is a tremendous title that has nothing to do with the movie itself.
Yeah, that name sounds so much better than I'm sure the movie is.
Well, I mean, like, look, it was made in, like, I think, like, 82 or something, and it's, like, a kid is raised by his weird aunt, and he's gonna go away to the University of Denver on a basketball scholarship, but, like, the aunt, like, aggressively comes on to this TV repairman, and then, after his refusal, she stabs him to death, and then, like, the local law enforcement thinks the kid did it, because the kid's basketball coach is, like, secretly gay, and somehow, like, the local detective guessed that, and thinks that he was gay with the TV repairman, and reasons that it was some sort of, like, jealousy of the boy that plays basketball.
Wow. It's a fucking wild,
crazy movie. Like, it was actually super boring until, like, the last 20 minutes, when the aunt, like, freaks out and just, like, visually becomes a different person. Whoa. Like, the acting, you could tell they said, yeah, we need to tell that you're, like, crazy. And so she just gets all, like, hunched over and, like, her face gets, like, super greasy for some reason. It's a crazy, like, I think it was made in Canada. Like, it's the only way I can rationalize any of this.
I was gonna say, this sounds like some sort of Mary Warrenov movie.
A teenage girl gets clubbed in the head, like, 4 times and is basically fine. Like, there's a lot of head trauma in this movie, but it was quite a ride. Let me tell you, it was quite a ride. So that's my plug. Go out of your way to, I'm pretty sure it was on Tubi. Go to Tubi and watch Butcher Baker Nightmare Maker, and try to figure out why that's the name of the movie, because I don't know.
Butcher Baker Nightmare.
A lot of poisoning happening in this movie.
That's,
yeah, it's a wild one, but that's right. My plug.
Also called Night Warning.
Really? That's a... Okay. That doesn't make any more sense, though.
It is shorter.
From 81, yeah. But it, like, it visually, like, the look of it completely is, like I said, like a fake horror movie. Oh, yeah, and the late Bill Paxton is in it. That's the real claim to fame.
Poster looks pretty good.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be awesome.
Yeah, but you said it took the last 20 minutes.
All right.
I like when our plugs are longer than the episode.
I do love that, too.
I'm telling you, dude, that should be the podcast. It's just us plugging random nonsense.
We should do a bonus episode that's nothing but us talking about shit we like.
Okay. That would be really fun.
Well, that was the problem. The Aqua Teen one, I think, was a 2-hour special.
I think that one was only like an hour, but still.
That's, I know. It was like just us saying over and over again how funny Aqua Teen is and quoting, like, elaborating it. Yeah, basically. It's a bunch of out of context quotes and us saying how great it was.
But that's. That's
that is the show.
That's why I mean, me I, that's and true. Alan are friends.
That is the experience of watching the show. But still.
Good times.
That's true.
Goodbye.